My friends, good morning. African swine fever has been confirmed in the Dominican Republic. Of course, this is a disease that affects pigs, and it was responsible for China losing 70% of their herd just a couple of years ago. So this is an impactful thing, and that is also a huge risk to the United States, not just to the U.S., but to the rest of the world, which imports from the U.S. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what that means, what's going on to try and contain it right now, what that would mean for importers if ASF did make it to the U.S., and then stepping back, just how this flows into the confluence of China losing all of these pigs and a lot of their grains in the floods last week, and how all of these things are really converging to accelerate a collapse of the global food supply. Let's talk about it. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer broadcast. And indeed, Dominican Republic has confirmed cases of African swine fever at two farms initially. They've implemented all sorts of containment protocols and biosecurity measures to try and contain this outbreak, although we've seen just how well that didn't work as it spread like wildfire through China and even in Germany, where they shut down harvests. They didn't let farms harvest their crops in an effort to try and contain ASF. And then only last week, we saw that it actually has bridged from wild hogs into the domesticated farm pig population in Germany. So it's hard to contain, suffice to say. But that's why the Dominican Republic has gone so far as to break out their military in an attempt to shoot down any pigs that are found wandering around and, you know, go around. The Dominican Republic, from Reuters here, is restricting pig shipments and mobilizing of the military to contain the spread of ASF, according to its agricultural ministry on Thursday. Not sure exactly how that will look in the Dominican Republic. You might remember in South Korea, they actually deployed snipers across the DMZ and thereabouts to try and literally to shoot any wild hogs that were seen trying to bridge the DMZ, potentially bringing in this contagion. So they took it pretty seriously there, although it didn't. You know, here's some of those reports. The troops chasing down wild boar within the DMZ in an attempt to contain ASF. But again, it didn't work. And that's why we saw literally the rivers running red with the blood of slaughtered hogs when South Korea was forced to, when the outbreak did reach their hog population, and they started mass culling of those hogs. That's generally the way it was done, is that when you have these outbreaks, you just have to go ahead and kill your pigs. Now, of course, pork is the protein in the world. It's right there. 40% of the meat consumed in the world comes from hogs. Poultry is a close second. But when we see major hog producers, major pork producers like China, like the United States, having issues with their herds, this is a big problem. It's not just some specialty meat. And like I said, when China had their outbreak, it went so far as to cause 70% of their hogs to be culled. And of course, you can't just immediately rebound from that because you've got to breed these things over and over and you lose your breeding stock. Although, to be fair, China has done a pretty remarkable job of rebuilding the herd. I also want to mention that it was pretty sketchy what was going on there. It was almost exclusively independent, smaller Chinese hog producers that went and were forced to cull their herds, and that pretty much put them out of business. A lot of them just were gone now, and you can actually read all about this. In the rebuilding of their herd, they have changed over mostly to more industrialized, modern farming, with probably with antibiotics and this kind of nonsense. It's very indoor, high-tech stuff. So moving from the old model to the new technocratic protein model is part of why I think when we saw this kind of stuff coming out of the Chinese state media that indicated there were gangs using drones to try and spread African swine fever around so that they could then profit from the arbitrage of taking pigs from clean areas over to places where they had to kill off their herds and say, here, you can buy these pigs for, you know, 10 bucks on the dollar and we'll make a great amount of money here. But they weren't able to provide any evidence that it was actually gangs. And I think that's pretty questionable. So there was some speculation that it was actually the Chinese state, the Communist Party, that was using these drones to cause mass problems, to spread ASF through their smaller producers and hogs so that they can put them out of business and then rebuild, taking control over the food supply. Now, the USDA has already been wargaming this. And I've talked about this before. They've done several exercises in the past, imagining what might happen if African swine fever were to make it to the United States. And so we don't need to speculate about what that would look like. Right here from the APHIS exercise, they describe that we will probably have to regionalize. We'll have to divide up the U.S. into several different sections and say pigs from here can't go there and vice versa. And that would also allow other countries that do the importing from the U.S. to specify chunks from which they were willing to import and not. That way they don't just say, forget it, we're not buying pork from the U.S. anymore, because it's really not possible. When we look here in a second at the major importers, in fact, let's pull that up now. When we look at who imports pork from the United States, there are top three markets that account for two-thirds of that. And those are the following: China, Japan, and Mexico. China, again, by far the biggest one. So if there were an outbreak of African swine fever, if it did make it over into the U.S. hog population, and the USDA exercise ventured that was most likely to happen on the backs of feed, so infected feed that came in and then got pigs sick, then China would really be up a creek here. Again, like I said, in light of the flooding last week, which caused devastation to the province of Henan, which is the bulk of it's the majority of their hog production. And you've perhaps seen some of those images of just pigs floating down the river. It's pretty graphic and pretty, you know, it's really unfortunate what's going on there, to say the least. But if you couple that then with this prospect of the U.S. having an ASF outbreak that would cause China to say, we're not going to be able to import from the U.S. anymore, which is, for the record, how they handled the outbreak in Germany. When Germany found, even in their wild hog populations, African swine fever, China said, we're done. We don't want anything to do with your pigs. In fact, it wasn't just China. Other parts of the hog import market also turned off. So here we see the Philippines had done the same thing. There's a number of others. But back to the bottom line here, these importers, specifically China that I'm talking about right now, they need the pork from the U.S. And so if this goes at the same time as the global grains crisis and as the flooding, then we really are seeing a confluence of events that is potentially a starvation level event. I mean, China's already up a creek right now, and this would just be the coup de grace for their food situation. So coming back to what's gone on now, in response to the Dominican Republic's outbreak, the USDA has come out and said, don't worry, nothing to see here. We've got new biosecurity measures we've put into place, nothing to worry about here. We have numerous interlocking safeguards in place to prevent ASF from entering the United States. But again, we've seen how poorly these have performed in other places, in Germany and South Korea, and indeed in China, where it was insane the rate at which it spread across that country. And so what we can expect to see when ASF does make it to the U.S., and even the USDA does say it's a matter of when, not if, is, again, according to their own documents and war game scenarios in the past, an attempt to divide up the hog population at a state regional level, stop movement, they call it a hog standstill, stop the movement to prevent the spread across these areas, doing depopulation, so mass culling of the hogs, which would be a tremendous blow to all of those ranchers, all those hog farmers, and then regionalizing. So it is reasonable to expect that China would still want to buy some of our pigs if they're able to divide up into different, sort of carve up the area and say, we want those pigs and not the ones that are close, this, you know, so and so close to the outbreak. After all, China does own Smithfield. And so they're really, it's in their interest to continue importing. But we'll see what happens. And then stepping back from the outbreak and what it would mean if it did reach the United States, I just think we should observe that this is absolutely a continuing part of that narrative that animals are dirty and dangerous, that there is the risk of zoonotic threats, that it was the meat market that caused COVID, right? This is constant pummeling with the idea that ranching is dangerous these days and we just can't afford to grow food like that anymore. We got to move to fake meat and synthetic lab-grown trash. The dirty and dangerous animals meme is just being pushed out at a rapid pace, like the rest of the agenda, indeed. But even right now, we're seeing we're supposed to vaccinate our cats and things like this. So I just wanted to make that observation. And then secondly, this is also a way of sort of masking the fact that we're in a pretty dire straits as far as an animal feed shortage right now, with feed prices going through the roof. We've already seen some efforts, even here in the United States, to a bipartisan effort to try and alleviate livestock feed shortages by allowing farmers to plant, even when they're getting prevented plant insurance and things like this. But, you know, this is happening. This is not just a U.S. thing. This is happening around the world because of the global grains crisis. Feed prices are exploding. And that's why we saw India forced to finally say, okay, fine, we'll take GMO. We'll take whatever animal feed you can give us, even if it's genetically modified, even if it's poisonous, because that's better than losing our entire flock of chickens. We got to feed something here, so we'll just take your poison for now. Remember, Brazil did the same thing just a few weeks ago when they changed their regulations and said, fine, you got us. We're running out of soybeans. We will buy your disgusting GMO soybeans. These are countries which, prior to this, said we don't want anything to do with that GMO trash. We don't want that. We only want real food. But now we're running out of real food. And so sure enough, we are failing over into the GMO, just as they want us to fail forward into the lab-grown meat, right? This is what it's all about. Engineering food shortages, creating these manufactured famines so that we are forced into the solutions that they're putting forward. And just as a reminder, this is happening at the same time that Dutch farmers are selling off their right to ever farm pigs again. We've seen the bill in Oregon that's attempting to criminalize basic animal husbandry. There's a war on the production of meat, and this all is part of that. All right, so that's the latest deployment of the weaponized germ theory now attacking our food system. I think we've said enough today. Thanks for watching, folks. You can find this report and all my reports on iceagefarmer.com. If you like this broadcast, if you value this information, you can help me keep it running. There's a few ways to do that listed at iceagefarmer.com/support. And I very genuinely appreciate your help. Thanks for watching. Be well.